Not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And good evening and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host for the next hour, Ken Johnston, and I look forward to being with you. And I got a great guest today. I've been looking forward to talking to Andy now for a couple of weeks. But before we go to Andy, I just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all of your ongoing support, your financial support, and especially your prayerful support that's allowed us to be on the air for almost 40 years now. And speaking of that 40th anniversary, we're going to be getting together on Sunday, April the 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon out at the Malvern Retreat House on Warren Avenue here in Malvern, Pennsylvania. The cost is $55 per person or $400 for a table of eight. So why don't you grab seven friends and come on out and spend the afternoon with us. We'll have a great meal, a couple of speakers, a silent auction. It's one of the two big fundraisers we have each year with the Wake Up America dinner, we usually call it, but the 40th anniversary dinner we'll have in April, and then our golf outing in October. So it'd be wonderful to fill the room out there and see all the folks that have supported us year in and year out in this wonderful radio apostolate. Also, a reminder that on Saturday, March the 11th at 12:05, the rector and pastor, Father Dennis Gill, at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we'll be offering Mass at 12:05 p.m. Again, that's on Saturday, March the 11th, for the addicted and all those that may have somebody struggling with addiction within their families. So again, that's going to be on Saturday, March the 11th at 12:05 p.m. Mass celebrated by Reverend Dennis Gill. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to our listening audience Mr. Andy, is it Lavallee? Is that how you say it, Andy?
And we are sitting on, really, when you start going over that calendar, we're sitting a week away from Lent, and that's the time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So we're just sitting a week away from Lent. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So my guest today is Andy Lavallee from livethefast.com, and I learned about it about a month ago, Andy, and I'm not sure if it was directly from Father Richard Heilman or somebody that's involved in this Nineveh 90 that over 10,000 of us are doing between now and May 13th. And one of the requirements of the Nineveh 90 was to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And being one that has struggled with fasting in the past, I thought it was going to be one of the things that was going to be trouble for me. And then, like I said, I learned about Live the Fast, and from there I ordered your breads a couple weeks ago for the first time, and they're absolutely wonderful. And looking on your website, I saw that you had written a book about your conversion story, I guess, and how you came to start Live the Fast. And I picked it up on my Kindle last week and read it, I think, in 2 days. It's probably the fastest I've ever read a book. And I was just fascinated, as I mentioned to you right before the show, you know, as somebody that's in recovery from addiction and having been away from the church for a number of years and come back, I could definitely relate to a lot of the things that went on in your life. And I thought it'd be great before talking about fasting in particular, if we could get into your conversion story a little bit and kind of what we say in the 12-step rooms, you know, where you came from, what happened, and where you are now.
Sure.
And so, if,
sure, I can jump in there. No question.
Yeah.
I can tell you that, you know, I was born and brought up in the city of Boston in a neighborhood called Charlestown that was really famous for its crime. You know, I just got away with a lot of things. You know, when you grow up in that neighborhood, you just kind of feel like you can just get away with anything you want to get away with, and that's what was happening to me. Then got married back in 1975, and you know, been with the same woman, my wife, for 42 years, Barbara, and have a great family and two kids in the business. And my parents gave me the great gift of faith, but you know, I was really falling away. I just said falling away like many men do, and you know, just kind of, you know, got caught in that revolving door of business and trying to make money and trying to provide and protect your family and do stuff like that. But you know, we moved into Waltham, and basically, you know, I started playing regularly golf, and golf became my god, and I just started playing pretty regularly until one April afternoon, it was 2010, where the season was just beginning to start. It was raining sideways, and a friend of mine invited me to the Catholic Men's Conference, which I had never been to before. And I said, yeah, okay, let's, you know, we'll try it for the day, and just, you know, stay inside and get some popcorn and just enjoy ourselves. And the keynote speaker happened to be Jim Caviezel. And Jim, from the Passion of the Christ, Jim basically said that he wanted to meet the guys that were on the 1980 Olympic hockey team, because when he was 12 years old, he basically received a message that this is how these guys, the miracle team on ice, you know, beat the Russians, and that's how he started to believe in miracles. And so he wanted to meet those guys, and I had grown up with Jack O'Callaghan. Jack and I were lifelong best friends, and so I turned my back to the organizer of the conference, and I gave him my business card, and I said, if he wants to meet those guys, let me know. And I found myself 10 minutes later sitting at a table with Cardinal Sean O'Malley and Jim Caviezel, myself, and my son Jeffrey, and basically Jim invited me to come to this little village in Bosnia called Medjugorje for just come with him and be with him for a week, and then my whole life changed as I got there.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot more detail.
I get a little more into it if you want.
No. But I, just because, I mean, the short version's great. But, I mean, when you say you got addicted to golf, I mean, you play 250 rounds of golf a year.
Yeah, I mean, I played a lot of golf in New England. You know, that's a lot of golf when you don't have, you know, when you have snow a good 50, 60 days a year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And so when I got into Medjugorje, I mean, I basically had a life confession, and my life changed, and I started to learn about fasting while I was there. And I had the same skepticism you have, and I had the same thoughts you had about, you know, this could be tough, what could we do, how do we do this? And as it turned out, we were climbing Cross Mountain on a day when we were fasting, and I was saying, like, this is crazy. How do I have this much energy when we're fasting? But that's the great thing about fasting, is that it basically does provide strength. It doesn't provide weakness. People think it's a weakness, but it's not. It's a strength. Mm. It's a strength to come closer to God. So that's where I learned about it, and that's where, you know, my conversion started there back in 2010, and I'll be forever grateful for Our Lady for bringing me back to her son through her, you know, intercession.
So you learn about fasting, and you'd already been in the bakery business, if you will, as
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a good point for the listeners to hear, is that, you know, I had been in the wholesale bakery business for over 42 years, and I've learned a lot of things. And so if you go up and down the aisle of the supermarket and you try to buy breads, or even you go to some of the great places in the world to buy breads, you know, 98% of the flour is genetically modified. So, you know, it's not because man has better farmers now. It's because we have, you know, more scientists that are trying to make more profit for these companies. And what's happening is, you know, if you try to aspire to a bread and water biblical fast like Our Lady is calling us to do on Wednesday and Fridays, like you guys are doing on Wednesday and Friday, or we'll do during Lent, it's going to be very difficult because you'll be putting chemicals and preservatives and additives and conditioners in your system, and not only to the genetically modified flour, but also to many of the chemicals that are in the breads today. So I learned about that, and I decided to go to the mill and try to get, you know, some clean flour. We did. We've got a GMO certification where there's no GMO in our flours, and we ship those breads out to people that are looking to fast.
Yeah, it was interesting because when I've been sharing Live the Fast with just about everybody I come into contact with the Nineveh 90 and in a couple other circles I travel in with ministry. And when I explained that to them, I had one woman that said, you know, that's why I was eating a whole loaf of Italian bread on the days I was fasting. And I know for myself here in Philadelphia, you know, we don't have subs, we got the hoagies. And I love a good hoagie roll. And in the past, if I tried to fast, I would grab, you know, two of those hoagie rolls. And they taste good, but like you said, they're so wiped out of nutrition that you really don't get what you need from them.
And one of the secrets, Ken, to our breads is this, is that we needed to create, like in Father Albert DeVogelway's book, To Love Fasting, he says 8 to 10 ounces of bread per day is really what you should be using to fast. So we wanted to, you know, to aspire to that, but we needed to create breads that would be highly, you had a lot of nutrition and a lot of protein. There were high level of protein and nutrition, so that people could fast throughout the day, so they could maintain their tasks, so they could still work, they could still go to mass, they could still do the things they wanted to do, and they weren't going to be looking at it as a weakness, and that was going to be a strength, and that's what we were able to do. This is our 50th year now, and you know, you can go to livethefast.org and just purchase the breads, and we'll deliver them directly to your home, and get ready for Lent and start ready to fast.
Yeah, and just from my own personal experience, when I learned about your website and started reading about it, and I actually placed the first order, I guess, 3 weeks ago, and I guess it'd be important for our listeners to know that because of your baking and shipping schedule, that you got to get your orders in by Tuesday at noon if you want to get it that week. Otherwise, if you do it, I guess, afternoon on Tuesday, you're going to wait, you know, another week until that order's filled. And so I ordered mine. I think I may have ordered them on a Monday, and because of our close proximity, I believe they arrived on a Wednesday. And I happened to be working from home, so the delivery came, and I followed the instructions, put the bag of rolls right in the freezer. And I actually I had to go out that night. I had a meeting to go to, and I wasn't going to be home for dinner. And my wife was texting me, and I didn't realize it. And by the time I got in the car to come home and looked at my phone, the first text was, "What's this bag of rolls in the freezer?" The second text was, "Are we allowed to eat them?" The third text was, "Well, you didn't get back to us. We ate them. They were great." And so the way it works, at least the way I've been doing it, Andy, is and following the instructions, is, you know, you throw that bag of rolls. I think there's 40 in the box when they show up. And I pulled four of them out in the morning and throw them in the oven at 400 for 7 minutes. And I take them, I wrap them in aluminum foil, stick them in a Ziploc bag, and I take them to work with me. And then, you know, wherever I'm going after work, if I'm not coming home. And I can tell you that those four rolls they're enough to get by. They don't completely satisfy all your hunger, and it's not supposed to. I mean, each time you get one of those hunger pangs, it's you know, a reminder of why we're doing it and another opportunity for prayer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a good point, Ken. The one things I want to just let the listeners know that when you do get those hunger pangs, you know, it's a good message from our Lord that, you know, you're on the right path and that it's time to pray. Right. So fasting and prayer is you know, it comes together. If you look at Scripture and you look at our Lord giving us the great gift of the Our Father, the prayer of the Our Father, a few sentences later, he gives us the gift of you know, how do we fast and why do we fast. So it's a good indication to know that you're on the right path.
Yeah, and, you know, as I said to you before the show that, you know, I just started doing this a couple weeks ago, and the difference that it's already made in my life, and just the whole idea of being in tune with your body and what it's doing. Like I said, when those hunger pangs come, more opportunities to pray, and to it really gives you that physical feeling that you're doing something for God. And I know there's maybe other ways of doing it. People that work in the churches, the wonderful ladies that clean the church and do the take care of the vestments and the altar cloths and all that kind of stuff. Or, they do physical things. And, I work full time. I do this ministry and involved in a couple others. So fasting is my way of offering myself up to God to do with me as He will. And again, it doesn't bother me now to get hungry. And really, the bread that you provide has been a godsend for me, and being able to know that, if I look at the clock, it's like, well, 3 more hours, and then, I can have another one of those rolls, and I'll be set for a while.
Yeah, one of the things you can do, what you're talking about is really praying with your body. Yeah. In a lot of ways, you're sacrificing your body in prayer to Jesus, and that is the ultimate sacrifice. Just look at scripture and the things that we read and things that we can maintain. But the one thing I can tell you is that, can you imagine, Ken, if you or I were one of the 12 original disciples, and you go to the great school of Jesus and He teaches you that this is how you cast out a demon. Mm-hmm. But then a few minutes later, the demon comes by and this infested young boy, and the father asks them to cast it out, and the disciples can't do it. And they go to Jesus and they say, how come we can't cast this demon out? And He says, oh, this kind can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. So I think in a lot of ways, when you read that, and we read that now, this is the demons He's talking about that are destroying our world today. The demon of abortion, the demon of destroying our families, the demons of addictions, the demons of, our government and religious freedom and all that. You can go on and on and on, but that's what I'm talking about. I think that's what Jesus is asking us to do, to go to a whole different level. And go to that level of praying with our bodies like you are.
Right, and I think that, Mary is, in her apparitions at Medjugorje, the apparitions at Fatima, called for that as well. And it's interesting that you bring up the demons, because when we read Scripture and we see the number of occurrences just in the 3 years that Jesus was active in His ministry, and the number of demons that He drove out, and I don't think He killed them. When He would heal people of these demonic possessions, the demons would leave them. But it doesn't say anywhere that these demons died. And I think that, like you said, the demons are still prowling about and trying to have their way with us. They may take different forms, and it may happen in different ways, but they're still there. And as you point out in your book, and like you just mentioned, it's through prayer and fasting. It's not just prayer. Prayer and fasting is what can help us to drive out those demons.
Yeah, you can look at this, and I'll tell you that Our Lady is definitely the leader. And there's no question that with our reduction in fasting in the world today, and that, Eve is running amok, really, in a lot of different ways. And so thank God that our government now is on the path of survival and really taking prayer seriously. So, but the demon himself is really going to play in an area where we're unorganized, and we just don't organize ourselves, and that's where he loves to play. So if we can create right order and fast, like our Lord wanted us to do, like Our Lady is calling us to do, we can eliminate the demons and all those things that we basically call them addictions, but they're really sinful things that we did, and we did throughout our whole lives. And thank God that Jesus has called us back to Him.
That's right. I'm just going to open up the phone lines to our listeners. If you care to call in and maybe have a question for Andy or myself about fasting, maybe you're someone that has been fasting for years and have a story to share, you can give us a call. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. So, Andy, you already had this bakery business that was set up. And like you mentioned earlier, your two children are now involved in this and it's really a ministry. It's not just a business. And have you seen a lot of growth over the years?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is growth, but there is a lot of challenges too. You know, I kid around with my friends sometimes, and I say, if I knew that our Lord wanted me to do something like this, I probably would not have jumped into it as quickly as I did. But it was pretty specific for me that that's what he wanted. And so that's how we did it. And it is a ministry, no question. It certainly is a ministry.
Yeah. And so when you first got started, I believe now you have a group there. I'm not sure if it's the bakery is the right word, but wherever the business is, where there's a lot of prayer and fasting that goes on even within the business.
Well, we have a lot of employees that are, you know, that are really looking to this ministry and really trying to, you know, we're trying to be different in that way. So we're trying to serve our customers in that way, be stewards of the gift of the business and of our work that God has given us. And we're very blessed in that way. So, you know, for me personally, when you look at this and, you know, you look at this conversion and you start second-guessing yourself and you're saying, I'm sure you did too many times during your life, and say, you know, what's God want from me? What's going on here? You know, for me it was like, okay, how do I sort this out? And then when I started studying fasting and really looking at it, I'm saying, well, how come more people don't fast? In fact, there's a great book out there for your listeners called The Spirituality of Fasting. It's written by Monsignor Charles Murphy. It's called The Spirituality of Fasting. And there's a question in there. It's right at the beginning of the first chapter, and that is from the Holy Father, Pope John Paul, where he sits with Monsignor Murphy having dinner in the Vatican back in 1980. And he says, what has ever happened to fasting in the United States? So I was asking the same question, you know, what's happened to fasting? And I looked at it, and it was successful for me. Why weren't people doing it?
And as a result, Andy has started livethefast.org. The book he just mentioned, The Spirituality of Fasting, is available on that website, as is his own conversion story, From the Hub to the Heart. And in your own book, Andy, and you also offered on the website, Fast with the Heart by Father Slavko Barbaric. And it sounds like this is a man that's played a really big role in your spiritual life. Even though you've never met him personally, you talk
Father
about Slavko him a lot.
Father is the man when it comes to fasting. I'm going to tell you something. People, I know the church hasn't approved Medjugorje yet, and that's okay. But I look at Medjugorje as being the fasting capital of the world. It's the confession capital of the world. It's the change capital of the world, really, when you look at change. Father Slavko was the man. He is. He's written some great books, and I think his best book ever written was Fast with the Heart. And there's some great reflections in there about praying the rosary and the reflections, praying the stations with your fasting and your prayer at the same time. So I would strongly recommend to anybody to read anything they can get their hands on from Father Slavko.
Right, right. And I'm waiting. I got my tracking number yesterday for my it's actually the book bundle that you guys recommend. With Father Slavko's book, so I'm looking forward to getting that. And again, it's livethefast.org. If you click on the Shop Now button, you'll see the books that Andy offers there, as well as your ability to get the starter kit, which comes with a bag of 40 rolls. It'd be enough. Is it 40?
I think it's 3 dozen.
3 dozen, 36. 36, so enough for
There's
9.
8 fasting days in a month, 4 rolls per day. That gives you 36.
Yeah, and but also, you know, he put some other nice things in that box, the magnet that goes on the fridge, and one of the things that really had made a difference for me, Andy, and I wasn't expecting it, was the prayer that comes with it.
The fasting prayer is very important.
It is, because everything we do in life, we're told, you know, should begin and end with prayer. And you know, my ways in the past were always, when you want to do something, you just jump in and start doing it. You're going to pray, just start praying. And now I know to take a couple of minutes and settle down and tell God, you know, I'm going to spend the next however many minutes in prayer. And I thought, for the benefit of our listeners, to share with them this prayer. And again, it says it's adapted from Father Slavko Barbaric's book. and it's called the fasting prayer.
Sure.
And it says, Father, today I resolve to fast. I choose to fast because your prophets fasted, because your Son Jesus Christ fasted, as did his apostles and disciples. I decide to fast because your servant, Mother Mary, also fasted. I fast today as a disciple of your Son, and I ask for the intercession of the saints and my guardian angel. Father, I present this day of fasting to you for the ability to discover your word more and discover what is essential and non-essential in this life. I present this fast to you for peace in my heart, peace with my family, peace with my neighbors, peace in my own town or city, state, and my country. I fast for peace in the world, for all troubled spots in the world. I remember those who are hungry and impoverished. I fast today for, and here you can provide your own intentions. And then through this fast, cleanse me of all bad habits and calm down my passions. And let your virtues increase in me. Let the depth of my soul open to your grace through this fast, so that it may totally affect and cleanse me. Father, please help me fast with my heart. Mary, you were free in your heart and bound to nothing except the Father's will. Please obtain by prayer the grace of a joyful fast for me today. And then we pray an Our Father and a Hail Mary and a Glory Be. And
on, amen, what a great prayer, Father Slavko. He's a great man. What a great man.
No, and this is awesome. And I'm trying to get into the habit of praying this as the bread's baking in my oven. And it changes your whole idea of why we're about to do this and how we're going to do it. And especially the last line, please obtain by prayer the grace of a joyful fast for me today. And especially leading up into to Lent and, you know, talking about sackcloth and ashes and those types of things. But our Lord tells us that when we do these things, that we should do them in private. And although fasting can be it's a public experience in that we may be fasting, but at least I know for myself, I got to go to work on Wednesdays and Fridays. So I'm in public. And that last line reminds me to be joyful, that despite what I'm doing, I need to, you know, still have a smile on my face, not let on as to what I'm doing, and try to fulfill that commandment of Jesus to do in, you know, and do it in private, and that our reward will be later, especially that reward in heaven. So, you know, I thank you for including this in that starter kit. And again, I can't say enough about how good the bread is and how important it's been in just a short time in my life in the past couple of weeks.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about the prayer a little bit. One of the things that I think is really important for listeners to understand is what's the intention. Because when the temptations come at you, and they will, because you're in a whole different arena when you're fasting, it's really going to be up to you to decide how badly you want your intentions to be granted by Jesus. And that is, you know, whatever your intention may be. For me, a lot of times I fast. My nieces and nephews have fallen away from the church, you know, for conversion of my family, whatever it may be. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you can have that cup of coffee, you can have that, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts or the Starbucks or whatever it may be, but or you can continue to fast, and that's what that intention is there for, to kind of anchor you into what our Lord is asking you to do and to sacrifice for Him. The other great component we have that we haven't mentioned yet, Ken, is there is a Wednesday and Friday email. If you go to livethefast.org and you sign up for that, you know, without purchasing anything, you can get that Wednesday and Friday email. Yeah. And it'll set you the night before, get ready for the fast day.
Very good. I got mine last night, and it even says down at the bottom to forward it to others. And I can tell you that I did forward it to the three guys today that I'm hoping are going to join me in the fast for Lent. So,
beautiful.
Yeah, we're at the bottom of the hour, Andy, so we're just going to take a short break. Hopefully you can hang out with us for a little while longer.
Sure.
And we'll take your calls if anybody wants to call in. Again, the number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Again, this is your host, Ken Johnston. I'll be with you for about another 28 minutes or so. And a reminder that our 40th anniversary celebration is going to take place on Sunday, April the 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30 at the Malvern Retreat House, 315 South Warren Avenue. And the cost is $55 per person or $400 for a table of eight. Grab seven friends and get a table. Come on out. We'll have two great speakers and a great meal. We'll have a silent auction in order to raise much-needed funds for our radio apostolate here. And most importantly, we get to rub elbows with all the people that support us here at and In His Sign. The wonderful radio apostolate, it's been here for 40 years. I've been privileged to be a part of it for a few years now myself. And I know just from the people I run into and the time that I get to spend with Kathleen how important this radio ministry is. Both here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and the surrounding areas of South Jersey and Delaware and parts of Maryland, but now with live streaming and the podcast, we're able to reach people all over the world. I know we have a couple of listeners in Ireland and hoping that we have one from Spain today. I was told by a couple of folks, Andy, that from Nineveh 90 and the Facebook groups that I'm traveling this road with, that a couple of them may be listening. So maybe one of them will even call in. Again, those numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. A lot of our listeners, regular listeners, would know a bit of my background. I've been doing this for a little bit now with the radio and the struggles that I had with addiction. And, you know, how I was over to begin this path through a 12-step program. But it was that program that brought me back to my Catholic faith. And we're all on this journey together. And any hints and tips that we can get along the way to help us grow closer to God, I think are wonderful. I've joked
before. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, I've joked before that I had a... You know, I have this whole Catholic library at home. I kept buying these books, and I'm a lousy reader. I think I burn out too many brain cells. I can't always comprehend everything I read. But I was always looking for that one book that had that one paragraph that was going to – that was the paragraph or the line that was going to give me the answer I needed to grow closer to God for the rest of my life. And I don't think that sentence or that paragraph or that book exists. I think it's a daily journey, a daily struggle. And, you know, we read the lives of the saints and you've referred to them in your writings, you know, and how much fasting played a role in their lives. But we look at to them as examples and we see that, you know, even though we believe because they were canonized as saints that, you know, that they led these lives of heroic virtue, that each one of us is called to that, and that they never really achieved it until they died. And for us that are, you know, still here on earth and You know, some of us may have many, many years left, and some of us may be closer to that heavenly homecoming that lies ahead for us. But every day is an opportunity to grow closer to our Lord. And I'll be forever grateful for for just what I've learned, in, like I said, in the last couple of weeks about fasting and that, the important role it's played in my life and how it's helped in to help me grow closer to God and to be able to share that message with others like you've been doing, I think is a great benefit. And I think it's something that we don't do enough of as Catholics, whether it's fasting or anything else that we do in life. That and I think it goes back. I heard a speaker, and the name's Rosalind Moss, before she started her the Order of Nuns out there.
Speaker.
Yeah, out in Illinois. And somebody asked her after she spoke, it was something to the effect about, you know, having greeters in a church. And Rosalind said, you know, when I show up at church, I don't want anybody getting between me and the tabernacle. You know, I want to get right in. But the other thing that we talked about that night was, you know, how Catholics don't necessarily share with each other or share with non-Catholics what they do in their daily lives. And part of it goes back to a time, especially here on the East Coast, where so many people were Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood. Everybody, all my friends, most of us went to Catholic school together. We went to church together on Sunday. So we were in each other's business all the time anyway. Now, I think we live in a culture where, you know, I live on a dead-end street. There's probably 14 houses on the block, and I may know three of the neighbors. And
pretty so, different, right?
Yeah, so it's a whole lot different. But what it does is I think it gives us all a bigger opportunity to be evangelists. And I think that's part of that call for this new evangelization. Because it's so desperately needed, there's so many people that don't go to church, any church on Sunday, let alone a Catholic church. And just for us to be witnesses, and we don't have to beat people over the head. A lot of times we don't have to say anything. It's just by the example that we lead. And every once in a while, somebody will come up to you and say, you know, how come you always got a smile on your face? Or when I ask you how you're doing, you always say you're great. It gives you an opportunity when they ask. Like some people now, they don't even want to ask me how I'm doing, because I'll tell them the truth and tell them why I'm doing what I'm doing and how I got where I got. And I think all of us are called to do that. And I think you're doing that with your ministry. We do it here with this radio apostolate. And I think it's so much needed, especially now in this 21st century.
Yeah, one of the things we need to do as men, because we're so weak, is to understand that this is a discipline that Jesus himself practiced. Okay, he not only practiced it, but he taught it to his disciples. And if we look through Scripture and we read Scripture at all, you talk about reading books, you know, the fact of the matter is that every significant event in biblical history, and you can name any one of them, fasting was a part of it. Fasting was something that they did to prepare for the battle. We're in a spiritual battle right now. And growing up in those neighborhoods of Pennsylvania or growing up in those neighborhoods of Boston, whatever you grow up in, you better make sure you go into those fights with the right battle. Otherwise, you're not going to have the right weapon. Excuse me, you're not going to those fights with the right weapon, or you won't be able to compete in the battle. So, and I think that's what we need to do right now. If we're going to be Catholics and we're going to be, you know, supporters of our Lord and follow Our Lady's call, we need to pray and fast. And prayer and fasting is a team. And St. Peter Kasologist said that they can't be separated. So let's not separate them. Let's go on with them, and let's just take it from Lent as a good time to start and continue it, you know, throughout the year if we can.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, your life is a testament to it. I hope someday my life will be a testament to that. And, as you're saying that, I'm wondering, you know, how do we get to the point, and I don't know if you found this in any of your studies or readings, but how do we get to the point where we've given up on fasting? Like I remember when my kids were making their first communion. You know, back when I made my first communion, it was you weren't allowed to eat from the night before. And even now, it's I think there's a debate sometimes whether it's an hour before you go to Mass or an hour before communion. But somewhere along the line, we've just completely lost it.
We've lost it.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, to really for us to honor the Eucharistic fast, to be ready for that encounter with Jesus. And I think it's imperative for us to have it an hour before Mass.
Right.
An hour before Mass starts. We're only giving up a lousy hour. Let's give up that time to get ready for Jesus in the real, true encounter with Jesus in the Holy Eucharist at Mass.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. And we haven't gotten any calls, Andy. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I got a few stories for you. I can tell you that one thing I want to tell you is that from when you talked earlier about, you know, and I know your whole journey a little bit, and so you talked about, you know, addictions and stuff like that. Fasting is the gateway. It is the gateway. I can tell you personally from my own story, and you're saying the same thing. So fasting is the gateway to eliminate all addictions. And I'm talking about all of them. I can tell you that we just got an email from a gentleman from Texas, and he said, Andy, he said, I just want you to know that as a young man, and he's talking about 12, 13-year-old young man at the time he was, that's when he started got hooked on pornography. He said, I've been hooked on pornography for 40 years. He says, and I never thought that I could ever, ever break it. And he talked about this, and he said, I heard you on a radio show, and I want you to know I started fasting. And for the last 90 days, I have not been on a site. I haven't done anything that's going to be, you know, that's not going to be pleasing to our Lord, because I've been able to fast. And I tell you, you can kick these habits, these addictions we talk about, these sins we talk about, if you just go into fasting. The challenge here, Ken, is this. At the end of Lent, there's a 50-day window of feasting because of Jesus rising from the dead. Now, some people want to continue fasting and some don't, but the fact is you got to get these fasting muscles have to be strong enough to continue, similar to like those of the gym, when you go to the gym. And so, you know, you want to listen to your body, you want to fast incrementally, but fasting is the gateway to eliminate all these addictions.
Yeah, and to your point, it's funny that you say the 50 days. So we have the 40 days of Lent and then the 50 days you say a feast. But those of us that are participating in this Nineveh 90, I think Father Heilman, when he looked at the 90 days, you know, based on studies that have been done, I know, it, you know, in the addiction world, getting to 90 days used to be a big thing of being clean and sober. But that 90, it takes 90 days to break a habit and takes 90 days to form a good habit. So I would encourage our listeners that if you're going to try this for Lent for the 40 days, to not look forward to Easter and to stop fasting, but maybe even consider fasting throughout the Easter season and try to make that 90 days, to make this a habit in our lives. And as you mentioned before we went to the break, the importance of the intentions, and that we can offer the fast not only for things that we're struggling with, like the gentleman that you mentioned that struggled with pornography, but like you mentioned, family members that are away from the church, family members that struggle with addiction, all these things that we maybe pray for on a daily basis to take them and include them in a fast, I think provides even more benefit.
It's one of the few things. It's one of the few things. Sorry to interrupt you, but one of the few things you can do for the benefit of yourself, for your own soul, and for those of the others. And that's what's one of the great things about fasting is. This is why Our Lady and Our Lord is encouraging us to continue this. And if one of, for your listeners, another great document for fasting is the 2009 Lenten message by Pope Emeritus Benedict. Read that document. It's very rich in fasting.
Very good. And I'm sure for those with a computer, if you go out to the Vatican's website or just Google Benedict 2009 Lenten message, you'll be able to pull that up. And, you know, so many resources. And yet, like, when I mention fasting to some of the circles, the people in the circles I travel in, sometimes they look at you with three eyes, like they're hard to believe that people actually still do this. And yet, our church in many ways calls for it. I don't think that there's many of our clergy that emphasize it. And they may do it for Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, but certainly not on a regular basis.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because that's really important. You don't hear fasting mentioned much from the podium. You don't hear fasting much in the church. It's a lost art. It's not really, it's not practiced, and it's not really taught by anyone. So it's the thing that's important, though, to understand, is that all leadership positions need to fast. If you're a father, if you're a brother, if you're a priest, if you're a pastor, you're a cardinal, you're a bishop, I don't care what leadership position, if you're in charge of 10 people that in your office or 200 people, you need to fast because it gives you the ability to make decisions based on the way our Lord wants you to make decisions, not the way you and your own self want to make your own decisions, because it takes away all the sins of the flesh. The sins of the flesh, the flesh is what drives us, whether it be a sexual appetite or whether it be an appetite for gluttony or food. You know, Genesis, you look back in Genesis, we just had the daily mass readings of Genesis, and nothing's changed. You talk about your friends and looking at you differently. Ken, I'll tell you, nothing's changed in over 2,000 years, because what did Eve say in Genesis? She said, well, the apple was pleasing, the tree was pleasing to me, and I decided to take a bite out of it and give it to Eve. It's not so. Look at this. Is what's happening in the world today. You know, the evil one is controlling the food industry. It's pleasing to our eyes. We go ahead and we have it, and then next thing you know, we're down down in some alleyway, and we're in a big trouble. What are we doing, you know, in that situation? Because we've just let ourselves go, and fasting is going to give you the discipline to be more in tune to what God wants for your body and for your system.
Amen. You know, one of the other things is I perused your website, and I know that we have some clergy that may be listening. We have the few priests that actually participate, and bishops even, and they may be listening today. And it has on your website that for priests and religious, if this is something that you're not actively doing, and want to get started, livethefast.org offers this complimentary. It's free.
Country to all priests and religious orders and bishops and anybody else, because we're so grateful that they're giving us the daily sacrament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we wouldn't be anywhere without them. That's for certain. Especially those consecrated hands that are able to provide the Eucharist for us on a daily basis. And you know, as I'm thinking about it, it may even be worthwhile to go ahead and. Even if you pay for it yourself, to send one to your pastor or a priest that you know, and if you know,
sure, encourage them to fast. Yeah, sure. Absolutely, because it's definitely a weapon for them.
Yeah.
I can tell you that, you know, we've got now about 250 priests in our network that are regular fasters. We've got another 3,000 to 4,000 people, and so it's growing. It certainly is. It's a hard sell, as you talk about, with people that are in your own network of people, and it's but the fact of the matter is, it works. It's undefeated. Jesus is asking us to do it, and if we can aspire to what he's asking us to do to his mother, then we'll be in a better shape when it comes time to face him in eternity.
Amen. And you know, again, it's interesting how I came across your website, and I guess through an introduction through either Father Heilman himself or the others that are getting ready for preparing for this Nineveh 90. And you know, no doubt that you know, God's directly responsible for everything that happens in our lives, and these interactions, whether they're face to face or via email or however they take place, that you know, God steers us in these directions and provides these things for us. And I think what he's the work that he's done in you and through you is just awesome. And to take a guy like yourself, like you said, growing up there in Charlestown, had never been there, but sounded like a pretty rough neighborhood, and to go on to, you know, playing all the golf that you played, and I think you got down to a 3 handicap, is that right?
Yeah, I did.
That was a little envious there. I used to play a lot of golf as a kid, and when I got married and the kids started coming along, I didn't have the time for it, but I was a little jealous of that 3. And then you were even involved for a while with racehorses, and you know, to be traveling in those circles, and to go from doing you know, leading that life to, you know, not in an instant, but over in a pretty short period of time, again, through Jim Caviezel's invitation, and I emphasize invitation because He invited you to go to Medjugorje. And I think that we and I loved your first response. I'm not getting on a plane for 15 hours to pray a rosary, by the way. but it was Jim's invitation to you to go. And I say that so many times here on the show that a lot of times that's all it takes is an invitation, that we're not responsible for the outcome, that if we just invite and then allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, that he's the one that's responsible for the results. I try to take men on retreat every year on a weekend I go in August, and every year I'll invite 10, 15, 20 guys to go and maybe get a couple. And when I first started doing it, I would get real down, like, what am I doing right? And the point is that you just keep inviting and then leave it to the Holy Spirit. If you're going to share about fasting or other devotions that you have in your life, invite people. And then and then leave it at that and let the Holy, pray for them, pray for the Holy Spirit to intercede in their lives, to help them with to respond to that invitation. But it's not necessarily on us to make sure that they do what they ask, what we're asking them to do, because that may not be right for them in the end. There may be something else that God's calling them to do, but at least you made the invitation.
You know, I'll tell you, that's a very important point, because Jim's become a great friend, and the invitation was there, and I didn't really know what was going on, but I just tried to answer the call. And as you look back and things that happen in your life, you can pretty much understand that, God has pretty much, chosen you to do certain things, and we need to answer that call, and we can do that through fasting. And prayer and fasting is an unbelievable, powerful team. It's like a nuclear weapon, really. Yeah. It is. It's something we can use to really defeat evil in the world today.
Very good. Well, we've only got about 5 minutes left. Did you have any final thoughts to leave with our listeners before I?
Let me leave you with one thought, and that is, it's one of my favorite saints. It's one of our newest saints in the church, and that is Pope John Paul. And I think Pope John Paul, in a lot of ways, Saint Pope John Paul, in a lot of ways, had a great understanding of Our Lady, and maybe even had some conversations with her while he was here on earth. But the fact of the matter is that he said this. He said that Jesus has shown us by his own example that prayer and fasting are the first and most effective weapons against the forces of evil. Let me just repeat that one time. Jesus has shown us by his own example that prayer and fasting are the first and most effective weapons against the forces of evil. You want to cast out evil, you want to cast it out in your family, in your neighborhood, in the world, in our country, you can do it. You just got to go to another level, and that is prayer and fasting.
Andy, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today and to share this message about fasting. Again, the website is livethefast.org. There's a number of resources there, whether it be the books by Andy himself or a couple of priests that have written about fasting. And again, you can order your starter kits if you're not fasting already. And if you are already fasting, they have the recharge kits where you get them without some of the literature included. Slightly cheaper, but I'd encourage you to go ahead and get that starter kit. And also a reminder that Lent's going to start next Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is Wednesday, March the 1st. And if you want to get these great rolls that Andy and his bakery provide, you need to get that order in before Tuesday at noon. I think that they must all get together on Tuesdays and box them up and ship them out. And if you miss the deadline on Tuesday, you're waiting another week. So don't hesitate. Get on that website, livethefast.org, and place those orders today.
Well, God bless you, and a great Lent to all your listeners. And may they be blessed by Jesus and Our Lady, and their families be blessed also.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. Thanks again for being with us. All right.
God bless. Take care.
God bless. So I think I can say it's my new friend, Andy Lavallee, from Boston. And again, it's livethefast.org. And Father McKay and I, in the earlier show, Saints and Sinners, I think we were hoping to spend a little bit more time talking about Lent. But we always get directed to where we need to get directed. And, the calls that come in are tops and most important. And so I want to thank, Brian and John that called in the previous show. And but the point being that, Lent is right around the corner. And We shouldn't be waiting until Tuesday to figure out what we're going to give up or add on. And an interesting story, I had one person tell me that they had given something up for health reasons, and they were thinking about starting it up this week so that they could give it up again for Lent. And I don't know if that counts or not, but, you know, a lot of us, as the Lenten season approaches, we'll start thinking about the things that that we might give up, and things like alcohol and sweets and what have you. And if you're already taking care of yourself physically and eating right and exercising right, it might be time to actually add something. Instead of giving something up, this might be the year to add something. Maybe it would be to add 1 or 2 days of fasting a week. If two sounds overwhelming, start with one. Perhaps you only go to Mass on Sunday. Maybe add a daily Mass. You don't have to become a daily communicant overnight. Start with one extra Mass during the week. And maybe a couple weeks into Lent, try two extra Masses during the week. If you're not one to go to confession on a regular basis, maybe during Lent we try to go to confession on a more frequent basis and get all those graces that come from that wonderful sacrament. I'm so blessed to have a great confessor and be able to go to confession on a regular basis and get that spiritual shower. You come out and you feel all cleaned up like a new baby, you know, to hear those words of absolution that all our sins are forgiven. It's just an incredible thing and such a gift that God has given us, again, through his priesthood. And so there's all different kinds of things we can do as Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season approaches. And I encourage you to, again, not wait till Tuesday to rush into some decision about what you're going to do, but think about it and plan for it. And I think that's sometimes the hardest part. If you're going to make that daily Mass, you know, figure out where you're going to go and at what time. Schedules have changed. You know, I know my own parish used to have two Masses every morning, and now it's one, but it's a different time on different days, so you got to be careful. But, you know, take the time and start the plan now on what you're going to do during Lent and how you're going to make it happen. Because it's real easy to throw up our hands, especially when we have a spouse and kids and all kinds of activities that are going on and who's running where and when. And rather than try to plan a path through it, we just throw up our hands and say this will never work. But I assure you that, especially in prayer, if you feel that God's calling you to do something, to give something up, to add a new devotion, whatever it is, that in that prayer that you'll find a way to do it. And you just have to take the time to figure out what that path is going to be. And I'll just give you a quick example as we're winding down here. You know, Andy was talking about fasting, and the Blessed Mother has called for us to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And Wednesdays and Fridays may not always work out, because I know this Friday is not going to work out. So I adjusted this week to Tuesday and Thursday, so you still get the 2 days in. But I don't have to give up one of the fasts because of something that's, you know, an event that's taking place on Friday. So there's all kinds of ways to do this, and God's not calling us to do extraordinary things. He's calling us to do the ordinary things with love, as Mother Teresa would say. So I want to thank you for being with us today for these 2 hours, if you were with us the whole two or whatever time you made available to us to be with us here on the radio. I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. So I want to thanks for being with us. Thanks again for your prayerful and financial support. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care. And God bless.